How many of you are glad to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. I hope you're all glad to be here this morning. There's not a lot of you here this morning, but I hope you're glad to be here this morning. But how many of you know that so many times when the crowd is smaller, it's just that much more intimate what God wants to do in our midst? So I want you to stay open this morning. I want you to hear the Word of God preached. How many of you know that the Word of God can change you? Amen. It can wash you. Come on. It can wash you. Amen. 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 It can and it will. All right. So again, I'll say good morning to those of you who have joined us this fine, wonderful Michigan morning. Thank you for braving the weather. I guess I would like to get right into the Word this morning. So here we go. All right. If you remember, we're in a series called Bible Basics 101. Say Bible Basics 101. In which we are reminding ourselves of the things that we learn to do and know to do, but for some reason we don't do. All right? Whether it's because of laziness or forgetfulness, many of God's principles and promises go unclaimed and go unapplied because we don't claim them and we don't apply them. And I know you can say, well, not me, I apply them. Well, you know, I have a feeling probably that there are some things that you know to do that you don't do because you've matured. Amen? Amen. The title of today's message is The Familiar Road. Okay, The Familiar Road. So please, let's stand together and repeat our Bible declaration. And then that's just about the last time I'm gonna have you stand up and sit down today. I remember when I went to the Reformed Church, never mind, cut that out. But it was, the pastor went, and everybody would go, you know? All right, okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. You can be seated. Let's go. What I want to share with you this morning is, I believe anyway, so completely life-changing, all right, and so totally eye-opening, and so very empowering, but the only thing about it is we have to apply it and do it. Amen? How many of you know that the Word of God is powerful, but it's just a word with you know, words, it's just a book with words printed on paper if we don't apply it. Amen? It's no different than your Tom Sawyer books, okay? And I'm not being blasphemous, but if you don't take that Bible and apply those promises, it's just another book. Amen. We've talked about a portion of what I'm going to talk about today in previous sermons, but it never hurts to revisit and remind ourselves, touch the person next to you if you can reach them, and say, help me to remember. All right. It never hurts to revisit our storehouse of heard sermons. Amen? Okay, are you with me this morning? Okay. And I'm going to ask Serena to come and pray. She looks so comfortable, but and so nice.
Okay. Father, I thank you that we have the privilege and the honor to be here today, that God, you've called each one of us by name. You've chosen us, God. And you are preparing us, Lord. I thank you that you are our Father and our God, our instructor, Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide. You lead us and guide us into all truth so that we can be set free. God, I pray that we would reach into the deepest parts of our innermost being, yes, God, Lord, and uproot anything. Holy Spirit, you have free reign within our hearts and our lives,
yes,
to uproot anything that would stand in the way of your truth, amen, being shown to us and to those that don't know you. May we be a beacon of light, God, a beacon of your truth, a door open for them to come to know you, God, and to worship you. May we be worshipers of you in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
And may we hear your voice clearly and another not follow. Mm-hmm. Give us today what we stand in need of to do what you've called us to do, to be the people, the chosen, peculiar people that you've called us to be, those that love and forgive, those that walk in truth and light.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Serena. Thank you. You know, I know it sounds a little bit strange, but how many of you know that we have a tendency to leak? We have a tendency to leak. And sometimes some of the most important things that we have learned seem to leak right out of us. Hence the reason for Bible Basics 101, because we leak. The problem is the things that leak from us could really enhance our lives and make the difference in our living the life the Lord, living the life that the Lord wants us to live, okay? An overcoming life, all right? Where we are on top and not on the bottom, where we're the head and not the tail.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Leaked things, say leaked things, can make the difference between living a victorious life or leading a victimized life, all right? I'm going to just say that again. Leaked things can make the difference between living a victorious life or leading a victimized life. Having said that, let me take a bit of a leap here, okay? Let me just go somewhere I want to go. I believe that we can learn some of the most life-changing revelations, the most life-changing promises, whatever, in our personal prayer and reading time. I believe that. I believe if you go in to seek God, go into your prayer closet and seek God and read the Word with an open heart and a heart that wants to hear and a heart that wants to change, God will speak to you. Amen. And you will get revelation that will change your life. And I also believe, okay, I believe that we can also learn much from sermons that preachers preach. At least, I kind of hope we can. All right? I think that's why I do it. All we simply have to do is make application of the life-changing information that we've just learned. Amen? And I think that's where some of us come just a little bit short. You know, we get this life-changing revelation, and we let it lay. And I know what happens, you know. I know what happens. Life happens. And the lessons we learn just kind of leak out of us. Maybe you get in an argument with your wife. Boom! I wanted to do that to see you jump. All of a sudden, the principle that the pastor preached is gone. It's just gone. Or we get in a power struggle with our kids, and boom! The lesson that we learned leaks out. We can sit in church and we can say, oh, that's going to change my life. I am going to, man, it's going to be different. And something can happen that can take our attention off from what we learned, and for some reason, it's gone. And we never apply it. You know, that's why it's always a good idea to take notes. You know? Maybe then you would remember, or maybe you could go back and reread them after you wrote them. What a great idea. Nah, never mind. Never mind. Anyway, this morning I want to remind you just how the enemy works, okay? No matter how you look at it, we are in a spiritual battle. You can say, well, I don't want to hear all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. You're still in the spiritual battle. You can say, I don't like spiritual warfare. I don't do that kind of thing. Well, you know what? You have to do that kind of thing. That's your life now that you've accepted Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We have a very real enemy that would really like to take us out. Why does he want to take us out? Who are we? We are made in the image of who?
God,
the one being that he hates, okay? Amen? Anyway, I want to remind you this morning just how he works in the realm of your mind, in the realm of your emotions. I want you to see and remember the method by which the devil mines his way into your mind. Amen? And truly, I believe if we grab a hold of these truths and don't just say, well, that's just another one of those sermons that sound real good, but boy, nobody can apply it. I believe that if you grab a hold of the truths, because the truths are straight out of here, amen? All right. And you don't let them leak, you know, so don't let this lesson leak, if I can call it a lesson. I believe it's going to help you to resist the devil's attacks in your life. Are you with me this morning? We have been given everything we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Amen? The devil didn't make you do it, all right? And your neighbor didn't make you sin. We have the choice. And what we have to be is a people that always choose the Word of God over whatever else there is. I hope you follow me this morning. But let me ask you a question, and be honest this morning, really. How many of you, okay, are just plain sick and tired of the ongoing spiritual battle that you fight many times on a daily basis? How many of you are sick of it? How many of you are just tired of it? It seems like no matter where you go, no matter what you say, no matter what's going on, it is a spiritual battle. And I'll tell you one thing right now, it probably is. You see, anytime you experience a temptation to sin, and anytime you fall to sin, and every time you make plans to accommodate that sin, you've entered into a spiritual battle, whether you want to acknowledge it or whether you don't. And some people argue, some Christians argue, you know, they say, well, that's just life. No, that's not just life. It's a battle for your life. Come on, say amen, something, you know. In Ephesians 6:11, Paul gives us some insight and instruction on how to win those spiritual battles that seem to come on us every time we turn around. He writes this in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God," and I know probably most of you can say this by heart, "put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You have to understand here a moment. Paul's point in writing this is to inform us that Satan has a system, all right? He has a system, and that system has a well-proven strategy. And Paul wanted you to know this. If you can discover the devil's devices, come on, you can definitely stop his destruction. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that. Let me say it another way, all right? If you can uncover the devil's methods, you can easily stop his momentum. How many of you would like to stop the devil's momentum when he starts coming against you? Amen. How many of you would like to just stop him right in his path and say, no more? You can. You can. You've been given the authority. But this morning, I want to look at the phrase, the wiles of the devil, that's written in verse 11. The wiles of the devil. The word wiles is taken from the word methodos, okay, or methodos. It's a compound word that's made up of two words, meta and odos, all right? The word meta is a preposition that simply means with. And I've preached something very similar to this before, so please try to remember. Meta means with, as in like being with somebody or having someone with you, amen? And the second word is the word odos, and it's the word for a road, okay? A road, like a road that you would travel down. When the two words, meta and dos, are compounded into one word like they are in Ephesians 6:11, that word that you get literally means with a road, okay? With a road, and it also implies to lie in wait on the road. You've probably already figured out, I would think, that the word methodos is where we get the English word method, okay? Method. But the word method isn't really a strong enough word to be used to convey the full meaning of what the Greek is trying to imply with the word methodos. Let me try to explain what the importance of us knowing and understanding this is. Like I said, the most literal meaning of the word wiles or methodos is with a road. When you connect this with the devil, as Paul does in Ephesians 6:11 for us to learn, it's saying that the devil is like a traveler who travels on a road. He has made a decision, and he is headed in one direction, He has only a single destination, come on, and that destination is your mind. Let me give you an example. You've heard this example before, so if it sounds familiar, that's why. If it doesn't sound familiar, then forget I said anything, okay? If you're going to take a trip, right, the logical thing for you to do is to get a map or sign into your maps program or maybe a GPS. You know, all of that dates me, doesn't it? All right, you're going to get your telephone, and you're going to go on your maps program and plot out the journey to your intended destination. You don't just take any old road, and you don't just leave without planning. That'd be silly. You strategize to find the best and fastest route to get to where you're going. That's only wisdom, right? All right? It'd be pretty crazy, all right, for you to jump in a car and take off without knowing what direction to go in, right? And not having any real idea how to get there. Because taking just any road could lead you into all kinds of detours. It does anyway. And dangers, all right? And all kinds of wrong directions. You can spend all your whole day going the wrong direction and getting upset. It's always better to know where you are going and how to get there, because your chances of getting to that destination is much greater. Are you following me? The devil knows this, just like you know that. Okay, the devil knows this, and that's exactly what he does. All right? This is the basic idea of the word methodos. And please hear me. The enemy doesn't waste any time. He has chosen the destination. He knows where he wants to go, and he has mapped out and chosen the right direction and road to where he is going in your mind. It's different for you, it's different for you, and it's different for you. But he will use that same road. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I thought I beat that thing. He's on the same road, and you fall to the same thing. His method doesn't change. Rather than mess around on a bunch of different routes, okay, and a bunch of different directions, he has mastered the best way to get to where he wants to go, and it is personalized for you. There is always, say always, there is always a method to his madness, and the final destination of that madness, as I said before, is your mind. That's where he attacks. And when he arrives at that destination, he has one main goal that he wants to accomplish. And that's simply this. Again, he wants to mess with your mind. I don't know how many times someone will come up to me and I have offended them over something that I've said. And they said, you said this. And it's like, but I didn't mean that. But they've had their mind messed with, and the devil has messed with their mind. And they're thinking that I'm talking straight to them and that I'm bringing up their situation. Do you know what I'm talking about? The devil messes with our minds. Let me prove this to you, okay? Paul addresses the issue of Satan's destination in 2 Corinthians 2:11 when he writes this phrase, "We are not ignorant of his, Satan's, devices," okay? We are not ignorant of his devices. Please listen to this and please don't leak, okay? Because if you leak this lesson, you give up your chances of taking and exercising the authority over the enemy. And many, many, many Christians spend their whole Christian life, unfortunately, being tortured, being, you know, by the enemy in their mind, falling to the enemy's schemes. You know, I think one of the sad things is, and this happens to everyone, I think, but one of the sad things is when you fault in an area and you swear to God it will never happen again, and it happens again. So then 2 years later, you're still saying, God, just this was the last time. Please help me. I mean it with all my heart this time. And you get through Monday morning, and it happens again. The thing of it is, it doesn't have to happen over and over in our minds. We don't have to be taken down repeatedly by the same things, by the same enemy. Are you with me? You know, if you were in an army, okay, you were in the army and it was positioned here and the other army attacked through this channel or whatever it is, and then, I don't know, the battle didn't really go either way, but then they attacked again through that same channel, wouldn't you be ready for that army this time? Wouldn't you be ready for it? But many of us don't take the time to get ready. And one of the ways that we get ready is to read the Word of God and understand the promises that are given to us. Because with the promises come power. Come on. With the promises come power. And with the promises come authority as well. But anyway, we are not ignorant of His devices. The word that's translated into the English word devices is the Greek word nomata, okay? Nomata, which is a form of the word nous. Now, if you remember back, nous is a Greek word that describes the mind or the intellect, all right? So in one sense, Paul is saying this: we are not ignorant of the ways Satan schemes, and we are not ignorant of the way he thinks. How can he make such a broad statement? Because he thinks the same thing when he comes at us every time. We should know what he's thinking. But by using the word noamata, he also lets us know that Satan's goal is, to, as we said, get into our minds and then mess with our minds. You've heard it said before, and I know there's Joyce Meyer's book, you know, the battlefield of the mind, but the battle takes place in the mind. Your fight originates in your mind. You start thinking too much. Amen. Don't overthink things. When you overthink things, you really give room to the devil to throw in other things. Amen? Okay. But the battle takes place in our minds. And there's no doubt that the mind is the arena where the enemy feels the most comfortable and the most capable, because it's worked in the past for him. It's worked in the past. Remember his name, all right? He is Diablos. Say Diablos. All right. It's a compound word of which the first word is dia, which has to do with penetration. All right? Penetration. Listen, if he can penetrate your mind, he will penetrate your personality. Amen? And he knows if he can access your mind and your emotions, he will likely be able to manipulate you into a trap. And once he accomplishes this, he can convince you to do the things that you swore you wouldn't do. And you wondered how that keeps happening. Because he keeps coming in and messing with your mind. He doesn't have to be let in to your mind to mess with your mind. You don't understand the importance of this. We learned early on, somebody in a weird Pentecostal prayer meeting that you went to right after you got saved said, "We bind you in the name of Jesus." And you're going, "What in the world?" "And we loose the Holy Spirit to minister, blah, 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 blah." Then you went and you found out what that meant. And you found out that you had authority, that you could bind the devil. You could stop him. That all authority was given unto you in heaven and earth, okay? Authority, Jesus's authority was yours. And you began to bind and loose, but I dare say, as I talked to you this morning, when was the last time you bound anything or loosed anything? Does it not work anymore? Did it only work for that honeymoon period when you first got saved? Why don't we do that anymore? Why do we walk away? Well, maybe we will do it in a prayer that's in front of everybody, but the enemy is set loose in our life, and there are times we have to bind him, all right? And there's times when we have to loose the Spirit of God, give the Spirit of God permission to minister to us. Give us wisdom. Help us understand what's going on. One writer says that the word noamata not only depicts Satan's scheming mind, but also his crafty and subtle way of attacking and victimizing other people's minds. So Paul identifies the dominant direction and the definite destination of the devil, all right, in hopes that you and I will identify him and capture him before he gets there. Say that, before he gets there. Say, I want to. Say, I want to capture him before he gets there. And then Paul's so good about this. He doesn't leave us hanging, right? He gives us the method to crush the enemy's madness, okay? In 2 Corinthians 10:5, he gives us the how-to of this battle. He says this starting at chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. The New King James says it like this, okay? Instead of saying casting down, let me find it, imaginations, instead of saying that, it says casting down arguments, all right? In other words, this is what happens. The enemy brings arguments, and or he brings imaginations into the battlefield of our mind. Think about that just a minute. We suddenly have thoughts that someone else is acting that way because of us, and they're thinking of us when they do. That imagination gets planted inside of us, and that's what he brings. And as much as we would like to just ignore those things, you know, just, oh, no. We can't just let those arguments and imaginations roll around in our head, because if they do roll around in our head long enough, they're like a snowball rolling down a hill. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The answer is this: to take whatever arguments that the devil has activated and make sure they are captivated. I'm going to say that again. We have to take whatever arguments that the devil has activated and make sure that they are captivated. The phrase bringing into captivity is translated from a Greek word that pictures a soldier who has captured his enemy. He's got him, okay? And now he's leading him into captivity with the point of a sharpened spear thrust into the flesh of his back. He's just telling him where to go, all right? The captured enemy knows that if he tries to move or get away, the soldier is going to shove that spear through him and kill him. Are you getting the picture? Therefore, the captive doesn't dare move, but remains silent, submissive, and non-resistant. He has to, because if he is the opposite of any of those things, he's going to be killed. That's going to be the end for him. But when Paul uses this phrase, excuse me, in this verse, he writes it in a tense that describes the continuous action of taking such an enemy captive. It's something that you're doing all the time. It's something that is happening every minute of every day, all right? Are you understanding what I'm saying here and what I'm getting at? In other words, this is not a one-time affair. Look, you know, Joe captured the enemy, you know? No, he's going to have to do that over and over. It's a lifelong occupation for the soldier. He constantly has a spear in his hand, and he is always pushing it against the flesh of his enemy's back as he leads him away into constant captivity. Now, please hear this, all right? You are that soldier, okay? You are that soldier, and the captured enemy is the devil. And your spear is a sword of the Spirit. Come on, glory be to God. And I don't know about you, but the idea of having the enemy in constant, continual captivity sounds really good to me. But I have to do it. You know what? Serena can't do it for me. Byron can't do it for me. Pat can't do it for me. I have to do it myself. My pastor can't do it for me. You know, it cannot be done by someone else. We have to remember to deal with the enemy like a real enemy. And somehow, some way, we knew that, but somehow, some way, we've forgotten that. And we end up playing with the enemy more than destroying what the enemy is doing to us. The way to destroy him, okay, the way to hold him at bay, if you will, is by using a real sword, like the Word of God. Amen? But just knowing this and not doing this doesn't help anyone. It's like this. We have the victory as long as we seize the victory. Amen. And again, it's like anything else. We have a choice before us all the time. Seize the victory or ignore it and don't seize the victory. Oh, I did that before. It doesn't matter. You have to constantly do it. Yeah, that is, it's a part of your life. Now that you have given your life to Christ, a part of your life is to be able to hold the enemy at bay with the sword of the Spirit. That is why it's so important that you're in the Word of God every day. That's why it's so important that you memorize the Word of God. That's why it's so important that the Word of God has a proper place in your life, not just another book that's sitting on the shelf gathering dust until Sunday morning and you blow it off. Rather than fall victim to the devil's attacks, and we do. We fall victim so many times. But rather than fall victim to the devil's attacks, you and I need to make a mental decision, okay, a quality decision. Every time to seize every thought that he tries to use to penetrate our mind and our emotions. And rather than let those thoughts take you captive, you have to reach up and take them captive. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's like this. When the enemy comes at you, and maybe you're going through, you've got a project going of some sort for your business, whatever it might be, and he says, you're never going to succeed. Or he says to the new Christian, you're never going to make it. You're gonna go out again and do that stuff again, and you're gonna do all, you know, it's all gonna come back. You might as well throw the towel in right now and save yourself a lot of embarrassment. What you do is you push the sword into his back and say this: last time I checked, Satan, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That scripture does not get old. He's not gonna say back to you, oh, you say that all the time. Say it all the time. It's as powerful now as when it was penned. When he says to you, you're worthless, nobody likes you, tell him, no, devil, you know, I know this verse that says, and say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Glory be to God. But that the world through him might be saved. I'm saved this morning. Say it with me. I'm saved this morning. Amen. And I'm equipped this morning. Amen. Please hear this. For every problem the enemy brings your way, I'm going to say it again so you hear it. For every problem the enemy brings your way, there's a promise of God to take him out of the way. I don't think you heard me. These people heard me, okay? For every problem the enemy brings your way, there's a promise of God to take him out of the way. That's good. Amen. But again, if I know the word like the back of my hand, which I wish I did, but if I knew it just fantastically and you did not, what good is that going to do you when you're on the battlefield? Oh, Pastor Wes, all you have to do is read and pray. Really? Really? I wish that were the case. Hear this too. There is power in the profession of God's promises. You speak it into the world, and this is where you can speak something into existence, okay? Because it's already there, and you're taking it from here and bringing it into your world right here. All right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's so many different, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I've been given everything that I need for life and godliness. I, I'm never going to be left alone. You're alone. Your word says you will never, and if you read the Amplified, it's so good, you will never, never, no, never, never leave me. There's power in the profession of God's promises. So I just encourage you, okay? Declare to the devil today the promises that you read yesterday. Come on. Declare to the devil today the promises that you read yesterday and walk in the victory that's yours. Or don't declare to the devil the promises that you didn't read yesterday. See, there's a reason to read the word. You know, God speaks to me sometimes when I'm reading the word and I'm not paying enough attention to do, and he'll speak to me. And he'll do it with you too. And he especially does it so much more if you'll pay attention to what you're doing. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying there? When God wants to speak to you, when you're reading his word, he's going to speak to you whether you're in the reception mode or not. So declare to the devil today the promises that you read yesterday and walk in the victory that is yours today. Now that's good news. Amen? That's good news. It's not new news. Okay? But it's good news. So I think with me and with everybody else, let's give him a shout of praise this morning. Let's clap our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, saints of God. Thank you, Jesus. You have given me everything that I need, God. Glory be to God. Thank you. I don't have to fail. I have freedom. And take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Say this after me. I'm not a victim. I won't be victimized. I will walk in the victory. I'm going to say that again because I just happen to like it. I'm not a victim. And I won't be victimized. I will walk in the victory. Glory be to God. And then that statement that you just made is totally true and is totally Bible. All right? Completely word. It's not what I have made up and made sound good. It's taking the language apart and explaining and for once finally understanding and this time applying what's said. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you go to leave today? And boy, you know, you're smiling, you know, it's good to see you, you know, and you turn around and then your wife says something to you that you know is true but you don't like. That's the worst kind of things that your wife can say to you. And you get mad. Wait a minute, God. I think there's a scripture for this. Let every man be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen, for the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I'm going to stand on that. I'm not going to get mad at her. She deserves it, but I'm not going to get mad at her. You know, I'm joking, but do you understand what I mean? You're going to get in the car and go home and your electricity's off. But it's on in everybody else's house. But you don't have electricity. So you kind of think that might be my problem. Are you still going to remember what you heard today? Are you still going to remember what you heard today? Are you just going to be so overwhelmed with fear and with anxiety that what you learned leaks out? Don't let it leak. Be somebody who's 40, 50, 55, 60 years in the Lord and still binding and loosing. Be someone who is mature in the Lord and still memorizing, still writing on those 3x5 cards, scriptures, and sticking them on your mirrors and reading them every morning and realizing that I don't really have to read it anymore because I know it in here. Amen? Bible Basics 101, right? Do the things that you have learned. Remember the things that you have learned. You have not outgrown the things that you have learned. And the things that you have learned still work. Amen? Amen? And that's good news. Again, that's not new news, but it's good news. It still works. And that's all I have for you today. So would you stand with me, please? And I do have a declaration that I think that if we join together, and it will just reinforce what was taught today. Now, when you make this declaration, you're not only making it to yourself and making it to everybody around you, you're making it to the Lord. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
I knew there was more people here. Are you ready? Say this like you mean it, all right? Don't just say this because, you know, you're asked to repeat it. Say this like you mean it, all right? I declare.
I declare.
I will bring every thought, into the captivity of Christ. Let's make this next one even more declaring. I declare.
I declare.
When the devil tries to invade my mind, with lies, I will recognize and capture those lies.
I will recognize and capture those lies.
I declare.
I declare.
No, no, no. I declare.
I declare.
Rather than fall victim to the devil's attacks.
Rather than fall victim to the devil's attacks.
I seize every thought that he tries to use.
I seize every thought that he tries to use.
To penetrate my personality.
To penetrate my personality.
Every thought, say it. Every thought. I declare.
I declare.
Because I stand firm on God's word.
Because I stand firm on God's word.
We're going to do that one again. I declare.
I declare.
Because I stand firm on God's word.
Because I stand firm on God's word.
The enemy's lies.
The enemy's lies.
Are not able to exert any power against me.
Are not able to exert any power against me.
I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
How many of you believe in Jesus' name this
Amen.
Morning?
How
many of you understand that when we sang that song, you know, what a powerful name it is, what a wonderful name it is. It is.
Amen.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, in heaven and on earth, that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Thank you.
Glory be to God. So I declare this. I declare this.
I declare this.
By faith in Jesus' name.
By faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Just tell him how much you love him. Thank him for what he's given you to win the battle. Thank him for what he's given you to win the day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Keep on clapping. Heaven's going to be a long time, all right? It's going to be a long time. Amen. If any of you need prayer, want prayer, personal prayer, there will be someone up here to pray with you. I will pray with you. Pat will come up here. Todd will be up here. See, the nice thing about coming up for prayer is they will pray for you the rest of the week, not just today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this song together.